Father, thank you for Daniel. Thank you for bringing him to Letton to be with us. And I just pray now, Lord, that as he speaks, you would just be touching our hearts and minds in a special way, Lord. Thank you for the message that he's got for us. And despite all the activity that we've done today, Lord, I pray you would just awaken us to what you've got to say to us tonight, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Matt. Hello, everyone. Good. So you're all road people. That's what they told me about Peterborough. Hello, everyone. Hello. You can speak to me. If you don't speak, this is going to get incredibly boring because there'll be long gaps. There'll be times that I'll just ask you questions and it's important that you interrupt. How many of you know Nick, who did the year for Crops last year? Nick Shepherd? Do you know none of you put your hands up? I'm going to tell him you none of you put your hands up. Like, those of you know Nick, Nick's one of the young people who normally sits through these talks with me, and he will just interrupt me and say, Daniel, that's wrong. So if you do that, I'll feel very at home, okay? The only trouble is he has to prove me wrong, otherwise I get to throw custard pies at him. So, but he was always good at that. So if you're going to make sure that you think I'm wrong, then be prepared for me to question you. The good thing is that most of you I don't know. So most of you, I could make up anything about my life. I can tell you some wonderful stories like the one earlier, and you don't know if they're true or not. So just, you know, make sure as I'm going, keep me to check. Ask me at other times, meal times. Find out if really what I'm saying is true, if I'm just, you know, doing a nice talk and it works well. The few people that do know me, two people that know me because I was their tutor, which means that they would come and visit me and I would tell them how to do youth work, which is horrible that I'm now doing this because they're some of the best students I know. They're going to remember everything I said and they're going to say, once you said this and you didn't do that, or you said you'd never do that and then you did do that. So I think Jay's left, that's how good I am. But Jen, just be kind to you writing notes. Yeah, thanks. Be kind to me. Okay. We've got today, tomorrow, and Wednesday evening, then Thursday morning together. And we're going to do some learning together. One of the things I hate is if you think this is the God bit. Through some of my teaching, hopefully you'll get the idea that it isn't just about when we meet like this that God's at work or God's doing stuff. But don't get in your head that this is the God stuff. This is where God's going to speak to you. God will have already spoken to you today. We sometimes miss it because we don't understand how God speaks, but God speaks to us all the time. So don't just think this is the God bit. Don't be ready that I'm going to say the most amazing thing and you're going to think that changes my life forever. Hopefully that might happen, but it also you might just think, well, that was okay. Where are you, God? Okay? So, who am I? Some of you may have read, and you may have read some stuff about me. I wrote on there, Matt asked me to write a bio to explain who I am. I hate doing that stuff, so I just wrote some words down and sent him. I expected him to send it back and say, do it properly. But he said, that's good. So, that stayed there. So, this is me, okay? But words sometimes are overrated. So, this is what I wrote down, okay? Born, grow, farm, church, commitment, schooled, God, year out, learnt, worked, married, children, moved, trained, children, church, seaside, moved, children, ordained, big words, living, Letton. That's sort of my life. So in there, that's my life, okay? Now, most of you will have notebooks in front of you. Most of you will be pretending to write something in it. When you get home, someone might say, did you write anything down? So you have to write something now, okay? It's very simple, okay? You're not allowed to talk to anyone. Well done. So no noise. Everyone do this, okay? Write down your life in 10 words. You'll have about 1 minute to do this. No thinking. Go. So, 10 words. Who's going to tell me their 10 words? Go for it. Yes. What's your one word? Life. It's a little bit of a cop-out. But it's better than death. So, well done. Anyone else? 10 words. Yes, go for it. Cool. Anyone else? Batman, go for it. Shouldn't wear a t-shirt like that if you don't notice you. Brilliant, thank you very much. One more? Yes, at the back there. Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, 10 words, your life. Because actually, what we're going to do over the next 4 days is actually all about you. all about you. I don't know you. I haven't stalked you on Facebook. Although if you do become a friend, I do stalk people on Facebook, so beware. But this is about you. I don't know why you're here. I don't know who you are. I don't know your journey you've taken to get here. I don't know the journey you'll take when you go the other side. But there's no point in me just being here for the next 4 days, saying some stuff and going away and that having no impact on your life. Not because the words I've got to say are that amazing, but because the person I'm going to talk about is life-changing. And he isn't just life-changing here in Norfolk, but God is life-changing all over. And what we can learn, what God says to us here, can change our life right throughout our, not just here, but can change our whole lives. So, one of the things I like is blobs. Some of you might have seen a blob tree before, with a tree with little blobs on, and someone's already put the little diagram up for me. I have quite a lot of these. It's part of who I am. Matt told us in our leaders team to be true to who we are, so I am a blob. Okay. There's some rules when it comes to blob diagrams. We all have one each day. Today is blob doors. Okay. And what you need to do is you need to decide which blob best describes who you are right now, and which door, I suppose, explains how you feel about Letton. Now, there are no wrong answers. Because you disagree, come up with an idea, someone next to you is different, that's fine. There's not a right and wrong answer, okay? Two people may come up with the same idea and describe that blob in a different way. You might say a blob is excited, someone else might say it looks depressed. It's okay. This is for you to do. So everyone look at the blob diagram and choose which blob best describes how you feel about being at Letton, October 2015. The reason I like these is because it helps us to be really honest about who we are. Because if I ask you how you're feeling, and we're not very good with the word feeling, we're not very good at describing our feelings. It isn't the culture we're grown up in. It doesn't work very well. But if I ask you which blob you are, quickly, you can tell me probably, first of all, which blobs you aren't. Well, I'm not that one. That one probably describes. And as you start to look at that and think about it, why are you feeling like that? Why are you feeling the way you are about this Letton? What is going on inside of you, the journey you're on to get you to here? You see, God hasn't just waited till I started talking to start to meet with you. God meets with each of us each day. In the other blurb that talked about this weekend, it said, go! Don't go. Throughout the Bible, God uses this word to his followers, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, the disciples, and even us. Sometimes church life can be more about stay rather than go, and here rather than over there. Do we know where or why we should go? During this week, we'll be able to think about where it is God wants us to go, what we do when we get there, and why it's important for us to go. So come along to Letton in October and be told to go. You're here, so well done, done it. I am going to tell you to go, but don't leave the room yet, okay? We need to find out why we need to leave. But the principle is that the Bible, if you get hold of the Bible, the whole story of the Bible, the principle is that God says go. God doesn't say, stay quiet, calm, behave, do as I say. God actually says go, and he tells some very different, strange people to go to some very different, strange places. He sometimes tells them to do things that we would think are very, very wrong or very, very weird. But one of the prophets in the Old Testament that God says, just lay there for a year naked. It's fine. And then after that year, turn on to your other side and lay there again on your other side naked. He hasn't asked me to do that, and he hasn't asked any of you to do that. That's a word from God. He hasn't. But God tells us to go. So, in your books, next thing you write, you might have written some things in between because you liked what I said. Next thing you write is I want you to write God's story. 10 words only. What's the story of God? Go. Okay. God's story. In 10 words, someone risk it. Yes. Well done. Anything else? God's story, 10 words. Matt. Anyone else? 10 words. God's story. Maybe you don't know God's story. Maybe that's why you've come. Because you've thought, well, why am I telling you God's story? You're supposed to be telling us God's story, Daniel. God's story. This is more than 10 words, but once again, I can break the rules because I make them. If you don't know the story of God, if you don't know the story of the Bible, then listen carefully. If you do know the story of God and do know the story of the Bible, then listen carefully. And think, does this make sense to you? Is this what you understand to be the story of God? We have God. God makes man, then makes women. God says everything is good, great, amazing, perfect, shalom. Mankind, screws it up. Stuff is no longer good, great, amazing, perfect, shalom. God is now on a mission to get everything back to being good, great, amazing, perfect, shalom. God gets Noah involved. Then Abraham and his family. Then Moses and a whole nation. Israel. Israel are going to show the world how it should be. After a whole load of years of living, messing up, prophets, wise men, kings eventually, we end up with Jesus. Jesus is God. Well, the Son of God. Trinity. Jen's an expert on that. Chat with her tomorrow. She'll help you. It's a gift that she has. It's great. So Jesus comes because Jesus wants to bring us back to good, great, amazing, perfect shalom. God shows the people what's the score. The disciples learn it, spend 3 years getting it. They even practice it. Jesus sends them out. Then he dies, rises again, but then leaves. Tells the disciples it's their job. Do you know what their job is? Their job is to bring back the good, great, amazing, perfect shalom. Saul meets with God, becomes Paul. Now he really gets it. And all he does in his whole life is go here and there and here and there and tells people about God. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. 2,000 years, lots of people trying to go and tell people, live it, do it. Bring back the good, great, amazing, perfect shalom. And here we are now, us, here in Norfolk. So what does God want? What does God want with us? What does God want for us? God wants us, me and you, the person sitting on your left, the person sitting on your right, the people behind you, the people in front of you. God wants us to bring back the good, great, amazing, perfect shalom. That's what God's about. There was a garden. It was amazing. It was perfect. It was shalom. We're going to do a bit more about shalom in a moment. But there it was. It was just great. And God put mankind there. God put human beings there and said, go, live it. It's amazing. Don't do a couple of things. And we did. And we took away from what was shalom, what was perfect, the perfect way of living. The perfect way of living for humans to be in relationship with God, but also with animals able to coexist together without wanting to kill each other. Without everything getting confused with having to have clothing and then have child slavery that makes our clothing that we then buy and pretend it doesn't matter because we're lucky we're born in this country. Another side point, apologize. But God had perfect and we screw it up and now we live in a whole universe that isn't perfect. Not just the sin that creates a gap between me and God, but the way that the world exists. The unfairness within the world. The way that we use up the resources we have far quicker than they appear again. God wants this world to be back to that place. And each one of us, as we live, each one of us, as we spend time in our families, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, each one of us in the places we play sport, the places we enjoy ourselves, where we drink our coffee, when we sit on social networks, whatever we do, are the places that God wants us to bring back that shalom, that perfection, that stuff that makes it perfect. God places us in those places so that we can do the things he wants us to do. Here we are, 26th of October, Crops House Party, you, your friends. God wants us to be part of it. This isn't just about telling you about how great God is and the things that God's doing and how bad we are. This is about us saying that actually we are part of the plan. Each one of us has our part to play. Every single day, each thing that we do, we are part of bringing that shalom back to the whole of this world. I don't know how many of you have ever studied an iceberg. I've never seen one in real life. But if you see an iceberg, you need to be aware that below the surface of the water is much more iceberg than you will see on top of the water. It might be 10%, it might be 9.5%, it might be 12%. But basically, above the water is not very much and below the water is a lot. And so often, I think that when we think of God and we look at God moving and we perhaps pray for miracles or we see read something in the Bible that really speaks to us or we are able to talk to someone about God and they get it, we see what's above the water. And we get excited about that and it's really cool and it's amazing. We mustn't stop getting excited about that. We must really continue to realize that God's at work. There's so much more that God is doing. Today, as you were out playing the wide game, God wasn't only in us talking to each other and being kind to each other, for those of you that were kind, some of you weren't quite so kind to each other, but some of you were kind sometimes, but God wasn't only in that. As you were out there, you all were doing something amazing, which you do every day that you miss. As you breathe, you take oxygen into your lungs. Creation. However it happened, that isn't this talk for today. However it happens, the creation, God made this universe. As we were there together, we were breathing, we were living, we were part of what was going on in nature as it was. We were out there, we were having fun together. God was at work. The thing about this week is that we can think being in here for 20 minutes, being in here for an hour can be the top of that iceberg. Without being aware of all the other stuff that God's doing. Matt said it as we sat and ate our food together, that is such a spiritual exercise. That you bothering to listen to your friend talk when they're worried is such a demonstration of God's love. God is at work when you do that. When you say something kind to someone, when you hold a door open, when you do something that you don't really want to do, but you do it because you know it's the right thing. When you smile at someone, when you hold your tongue back from saying something you know you shouldn't. God is at work throughout all that we do. And if we think of God and we think about doing a mission, missions are really important. Some of you have done missions, you would have gone, you would have said, we're going to do today, this week, we're going to go and we're going to tell these people about God. But we miss the point. God isn't a God who just does missions and just goes, right, okay, off we go. This is a mission we're doing. God is a missionary God. God is continually throughout the Bible saying, get back out there, go and live it, go and be Christian, go and be a God follower, go and show others how to do it. Each day should be part of our mission to bring back that shalom that I talked about. Some of you, if you've been in church a while, may have sung songs about shalom or may have even heard sermons about it. And understand that word to mean peace. Shalom is a Hebrew word. Anyone here studied Hebrew? Brilliant. Matt will help us out here. Matt, Hebrew. What do the letters look like in Hebrew? Do they look like our letters or do they look like a worm squiggled through some ink all over the piece of paper? They're not like our letters. I think they look like a worm. The letters are completely different. They go the other way around. And the only bit of Hebrew I ever studied was an hour. And for an hour, we looked at a word. I can't remember which word it was now. And it was just like one digit long, but it was a word. I think it might have been glory, but it was in the Old Testament. And because the line above it went from fat to thin instead of thin to fat, it showed that it was about God and not about the really holy person that was also there. So at the end of the lecture, I said to the lecturer, really clever, I said, thank you, Mr. Lecturer. That was really, really helpful. Where could I find out some more about this? And he said, I'm the only person that knows it because I've found out about it and you'll have to wait for my book, which made me feel a bit stupid. He might be wrong because he was the only person that said it. But Hebrew is a really hard language to understand, okay? If you go and study it, you're going to spend a long while doing it. It is amazing, some of the stuff that there is. So, in Hebrew, Hebrew is a really, really hard word to us to understand. The word shalom comes from Hebrew, and we understood it for a long while as the word peace. And in lots of ways, it does mean the word peace. If you try and explain the word peace, if I'm at peace, I feel calm. It probably means that everything in my world is in the way that it should be. It means I feel at ease with the way things are happening. It means I feel calm. Shalom is meant much more than the word peace. It's a harmony, it's a wholeness, it's a completeness. Shalom is about us being in that right place with God. When I feel at peace within my spirit, it's because I'm in that right place with God. I know the power of God is at work. I know that I, because of Jesus, am able to be in God's presence. Our world is not a world which is at peace. Our world is not a world of shalom, of perfect. Our world is far from what God wanted it to be when he created Eden. When the Garden of Eden was set up and everything in there was just perfect, we are so far from that. But God, since that very moment, was on a mission. He was on a plan. He had decided that he wasn't just going to give up, go and find another planet so far to the sun and all the rest of it somewhere else and go, just give up on this one, let's go and find another one. He was like, I'm going to do it. We're going to, together, humans, because I made you in my image, so we're on this together now, we're going to do this. We're going to get it back. We're going to continually try to show people what it means to live in a place of shalom, a place of perfection. God doesn't just go out on mission. God doesn't just go out and say, today I'm going to be a mission to this group of people, and today we're going to love these people, and today we're going to proclaim the word of God through word to this people. Each and every day when God wakes up, he doesn't sleep, don't worry, but when God wakes up, he goes, just carries on. It's the same mission. It's the same plan. It's the same thing he wants to complete. He has one thing in mind. And so often, we can get so caught up in our own world. We get so caught up in the things that we're doing. We get so caught up in the simple, tiny bit of the picture that perhaps God gives us. Or perhaps we don't like the bit of the picture God gives us. Maybe we prefer not to think about God being on mission. Because if God's on mission, that means we might have something that we have to do ourselves. But if we do get it, we just sort of like take it for a day. Take it for an hour. Take it for a week. Take it because the youth leaders told us to. Take it because if we do it, maybe we'll get a nicer seat in heaven. We don't have to feel guilty. Whereas actually what God wants to say to us is that when you become a Christian, when you say, yep, I'm up for this. This is it, God. I am going to live my life for you. From that moment, actually, all I'm about is bringing God's presence, God's peace, God's perfection, God's shalom to everyone that I spend time with. Everywhere I am, the places I go, the people I meet, I want to bring God to those places. We're going to think tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, a bit about where are them places we go? How do we do that? What does that mean? What does that look like? It's hopefully some really practical things that will help us do that. But to begin with, we have to perhaps ask ourselves some questions. Maybe you have committed yourself to being a Christian. You said, yep, God, you've prayed a prayer sometime. There's a date somewhere where you've said, yep, I'm a Christian. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've done it more than once. And you're living it. It's going well. Maybe once upon a time you said, yeah, I want to be a Christian. And ever since that day you've thought, well, I don't really. Perhaps you never said, yep, I want to be a Christian. I want to live for God. I want to know God's peace in my life. I want to know what it is to have shalom. I want to know what it is for God to be in my life. And I want to give my life for bringing God's shalom to places where it is not. I want to live my life for explaining to people through what I say, through what I do and how I do it, that there is a God who is all love and all grace. Is it easy? Nope. Some days, does it feel like impossible? Yep. But that's what I want to do. In a minute, we're going to worship some more. And as we worship, we're going to give chance for people just to respond to God. And maybe you do want to become a Christian. Maybe you want to commit your life to God. Maybe you want to say, yep, today's the day. 26th of October 2015 is the day that I said, God, I'm for you. I want to live my life the way you want me to live it. Maybe today is the day that you say, God, we did it once before and I haven't really spoke to you since but I want to do it again. Maybe today's the day you say, everyone in this room thinks I'm a Christian. Everyone in this room thinks I've got it sorted. But God, me and you both know that it's a fake. And I don't want it to be fake anymore. Maybe as we respond together, you say again, God, I've made that commitment. Each day I make that commitment. Each day I decide I'm going to live for you. God, give me the strength to continue doing this stuff that you want me to do. In one way or another, each one of us responds. In one way or another, each one of us can actually again commit to God and say, God, this is about you. The way we're going to do it is, in a moment, we're going to continue in some worship, and those leaders are just going to wander around and pray for you. And if you particularly want to become a Christian, recommit your life or something, then just tell them. Just tell them that's what you're doing, and they'll pray that through with you. If there's nothing particular you want to share with them because you feel nervous, you feel worried, you just don't want to talk to them, then just let them pray for you. If you definitely don't want someone to pray with you, when someone comes to pray with you, just ask them not to. That's fine. That is perfectly allowed. But as the leaders go around, I know a God who's real and alive. I know a God who speaks today, speaks in reality, gives real messages. And as they go around, they might have a prophetic word for you. They might hear directly from God something that they just want to pray over you. I encourage leaders to do that. One of the trouble is, as I look at the leaders, I know some of them, I don't know them all, I don't mean this offensively, they probably could do with you praying for them as much as them praying for you, because this is about all of us saying again, God, I want to be part of your mission. Do I spend every day going, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? No. Do I spend half my days doing that? No. I've got to do it again. God, tomorrow. Do you know, it'll be easier tomorrow for me to say, Max, great weekend. I've got to go. This cold's really annoying me and I just want to go home. That's what's easy for me to do tomorrow. I might end up doing that. I hope not. No, that's what's easier to do. But that's what's easy to do. And I'm not great because I haven't done that. But each day we have a decision to say, God, I'm going to do this for you. God, I'm going to do this for you. Even though it's hard, even though I don't want to, today I'm deciding again to do it for you. How long have I been a Christian? Probably since this morning. Because each morning we make that decision to say, yeah, God, I'm going to keep going. My first commitment was when I was 6 years old. I cried my eyes out and I said, God, I want my whole life to be what you want it to be. As we were praying first thing, I happened to look out of that window right there. For those people who can look out of that window there, you can't. Most of you can't. You will see that you can't see anything. I could see me because it was like a reflection type thing. And as I was, obviously, I had my notes in mind and we were praying together. I just felt God saying that for some of us, it's like, yeah, that's great. I can't believe that my friends, God's got a mission for them. God wants them to be part of the team. God says that they're important. God says that they're special. But look at what I can see. God isn't saying that to me. It's not a major part of what we're saying today. But I just felt God saying that for those of you who think it's for everyone else, it's not for me. It's not for me because of the way I look, because of what I've done, because of who I am. God says there ain't anyone that this isn't for. There's no one that my arm can't save. Everyone is part of the gang.